Welcome to Return to Life, weekly inspirational and empowering conversations on a variety of topics regarding everything health, wellness, meditation, and movement, guiding you to discover the peace that resides inside of you and help you live a balanced and blissful life. It's time to return to life. Here's your host, inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler.
Good morning and welcome to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler and you're listening to Vivid Life Radio on vividlife.me. Thank you for joining us this morning. I am welcoming Alex Bean here to the show this morning. Alex is a life coach and an educator. He's an inspirational speaker, and he's also an author of two best-selling children's books. So we're going to have a conversation about death and depression. 2 years ago, Alex's life was radically changed when he received a phone call saying his mother had suddenly passed away. Losing a parent and a best friend at an early age sunk him into a deep depression he thought would be impossible to climb out of. So I'm looking forward to the conversation with Alex this morning. He's going to share his story, and he's also going to share the tools that helped him during his darkest days. So thank you for joining me this morning, Alex. Thanks for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Pam. It's such an honor to be here with you this morning.
Oh, thank you. So before we get into that moment when you got the phone call about your mother, can you talk a little bit, share a little bit about the path that you were on before this tragedy happened in your life?
I don't think it was a good path, looking back at it. I think I didn't have a proper game plan, so to speak. Like a lot of people in their mid-20s, I think I was just kind of wandering around. And I started out, I was doing corporate work through a company. I was doing communications and then got employed in a state job. And just was kind of, you know, living life. I had a kind of vague ideas of what I wanted to do, but wasn't creating a specific path to do them. And then the news came, and it just changed everything. It made everything that was vague unclouded, and all of a sudden things started to become sharper to me.
So that happened right when you got the phone call about your mother, or was it a process going through all of that? Because, you know, to go from, and I think it's fairly common, you know, for young adults in their 20s to not necessarily have a life's path, you know, and struggle a little bit about where they're going to take their life. So was your mother, so she was a big part of your life, but was she helpful in you trying to determine what the path was you were going to be taking?
Definitely. I think that, and I do think you're right, there's two parts to it, right? There's an immediate impact, and then there is a process. And the immediate impact is all of a sudden this guiding voice, and we all have that, and it may not be everyone's mother. It may be a best friend. It may be your father. It may be another family figure that really serves as a mentor to you and is the one who motivates you and says, well, why don't you do this? Or, you know, or encourages you when you decide to do something. And so the immediate impact was, upon receiving the call, was, you know, that source has been unplugged and you don't have that anymore. So there is this immediate sense of, oh, man, you know, I've got to, for a lack of a better term, even though you're already in your 20s, you're already seen as somewhat of a young adult, I've really got to grow up now. And then there's another angle to it. As you said, there's a process to it of learning what does that mean? What does it mean to sharpen your focus and to grow more as a person? So there are two elements to it, and it's fascinating to do. As much as we may write about it or speak about it, for everyone it's different, and you have to kind of let time set in and let your mind set in before you can take those steps on your own.
So did you have any kind of spiritual practice prior to your mother's passing, or was that something that you developed, you know, once you had the depression, once you kind of found yourself thinking?
That's such a good question. I think that I was raised in the Christian faith. And as I grew older, and this is probably a story many people in their 20s can relate to, as I grew older, I distanced myself more from it. And I always saw God or the universe or whatever terminology you want to use, spiritual terminology you want to use, I always saw it as something that was physical. And so it was something that was tangible that I could grasp at, you know, and that it was kind of like if I was talking to God or if I was praying to the universe, it was one of those things where I was communicating with another physical being and I wasn't really looking for it. It was something that I just kind of thought to myself was out there. And after she passed, it became a thing of saying, what is God to me? What is the universe to me? Looking for things in my life that I feel like allow me to be more present and not looking at it from a physical angle, looking at it as something that is ever-changing, ever-flowing, and something I can use as a tool to enrich my life. So I think that's the transition I made, and it's one that I'm really thrilled with. I think in all the work I do now, it has some type of remnants in all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, when we do lose someone close to us, and I lost my father 18 years ago, and it was a shock to me. And I think similar to what you're describing, was searching for answers, you know, and you want to have something to grab onto. So we're going to take a quick break, Alex, and I want to talk more about that period of time, but then, you know, making your shift and how you made the shift, and then the tools that you now share and that you teach, and I really am looking forward to hearing about the books that you've been writing. So stay tuned. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do and life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher and spiritual coach, Pam Butler, guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler, and my guest this morning is Alex Bean. So before the break, Alex, you were sharing that period of time when you got the news of your mother's passing and you had sunk into a depression. So can you kind of share a little bit about what you were experiencing in that depression? You know, I think a lot of people really can relate to those dark days and depression, not being able to get out of bed and just kind of being paralyzed in life. So what was that depression like for you?
Well, I think you said a lot when you just brought me in there. I always tell people the worst day is not the day of the visitation or the day of the funeral. The worst day is the day after,
right,
when everybody has left.
Right.
And I remember, I guess it just hadn't really hit me, and I woke up, it was a Wednesday morning, and I've never felt like that in my life. I think I was able to get up and walk around for a few hours that day, and then about 2 or 3 o'clock that afternoon, I just crawled into the bed and just cried and was just devastated, immobilized. I felt like I was a vegetable lying there. It was horrid. And
right,
I didn't really know what was going to happen next. I was very afraid of what the future was going to be like. And the next day, waking up, and finally, I had some very good friends at the time who said, "We're going to carry you out. We're going to do all this stuff." But I kept having those days, and even now, it's interesting to talk with other people who have lost parents when they're younger. I noticed this reoccurring theme that it really never goes away, and you still have those afternoons. I'm all about getting out of depression and enriching your life, don't get me wrong, but you can't hide the fact that I still have those days where I do want to still crawl into the bed. And it's just something you have to kind of learn to, that's a part of you. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a part of the process. And we're always going to miss that person, no matter how many years it's been. And one of the best pieces of advice I got was from another friend who had lost his father when he was, I think, 23, and he told me, he said, "Alex, you've just got to allow yourself time to cry, because if you don't, you're never going to be sane. You're never going to be able to accomplish anything you want to." He said,
right,
it's healthy to do. And we
right,
have to
absolutely,
keep telling that, especially to some of us, both men and women, who are very stringent in our ways and have a tough outer shell, but we've got to be able to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Allowing yourself to feel things, and we have become a society where we will do anything we can to distract ourselves from those uncomfortable feelings. So, how did you make your shift from the depression? Like, you know, kind of walk us through that. Because it's not an easy, you know, you can identify it, but then what do you do with it? How do you get out of it? What are your tools? What are your steps?
You have to, well, there are two things. First and foremost, I think it's a great awakener inside yourself that you are responsible for your life. And parents to most of us are our most cherished connections. They're our best friends. They're our mentors. And when you lose them, you can preach all you want to about self-love and self-help and all these type of things, but it's a lot harder walking the walk when you don't have another voice there to help you. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
tough. So being disconnected from that, I did have to find a lot of inner will. And so there is a process of learning to love yourself. I always recommend to people, I think one of the first things when you allow yourself time to grieve, I think the first thing you need to do is to travel on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what I did a few months after my mother passed, we had went to Europe a few years ago, and she loved it there and loved most of the year. She loved the Mediterranean, and she wanted to go to Greece. That was her next big place she wanted to go, and we had been talking about it some before she passed. Well, when she passed away and I went to her home, I hadn't seen it before in her desk. And the bottom drawer was a guide to Greece. So apparently she had gotten really excited about it. And so it brought a lot of smiles to my face. So after losing her, I went to Greece and I went by myself. And I took all of it in for both of us. And had the ability to go and spread some of her ashes on the Mediterranean. And it was such a healing process, Pam. I don't even know how to describe it. I get emotional thinking about it now.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
It's all about, you know, when you're able to do that, and I don't want to say you want to live for the other person, but you do look back at their dreams and their goals and you think, how can I inspire in the same way they did? How can I commemorate their legacy, but also pull myself out of this. And she had a huge love for education. She was in education for years, and we were able to establish a scholarship in her name. Of course, they're the children's books that I've done that promote education. So anytime I do something like that, I feel like I'm closer to her. And yes, it's benefiting my life, obviously. It's stuff that I've always wanted to do that I'm doing. But I feel like she's there when I'm doing it. And that's
right.
The best
part.
So
honoring her. Yeah, honoring her.
Yeah, so anything you can do to honor that individual while at the same time helping, you know, helping your life and helping pull you out. And also it's about being productive too, right? It's about not sitting there and dwelling incessantly on the loss, but sitting there and saying, well, how can I, you know, take this loss and turn it into a gain for the world to take with them spiritually?
Right, right. Well, I think, you know, I think honoring certainly the loss of a loved one, you know, can help to keep their spirit and keep that love alive. What are some of the other things? You know, you talk about, you know, being a life coach and an educator. Talk a little bit more about, you know, educating, whether it's the youth or whether it's, you know, your adult clients. You know, again, how to help empower yourself. You know, you and I had met or had connected through Gabby Bernstein and a course that she held, which I'm sure changed your life as much as it did mine. So what are some of the things that you work with people on to help empower themselves?
Right. And you know what's interesting? Before we did Gabby's class, I had also worked with Jordan Bach, who is another very famous life coach in New York, a great guy. And a lot of times when I am working with clients or I'm working with students, I think one of the really fun things is trying to discover their purpose and trying to see, going back to the loss there, trying to find similarities in what I've confronted. And not necessarily directing them with where to go, but to give them the inspiration to go on. I'll give you a great example. I had a student who was also a private client to me in August of 2014. And this was about, I guess, 4 or 5 months after my mom had passed. And I was sitting there and, you know, he was a real tough cookie. He was just not going to be doing much of anything with me. He was very stoic and just very, you kind of your old school kind of jock male type. And in our second session, he said, he began to open up to me about his father passing. And his father had passed a month before my mom had. Hmm. And his father was very young. And it's one of those moments where I became spiritually aware as much as he did. And so now it makes that connection so much stronger because each time he'll say to me, you know, oh, I'm going through such and such, I'll say, oh, I know exactly what you mean. And even though I'm 10 years older, those feelings are still very much there. I think you look for those connections. You look for anything you can. And it pops up just as much with adult clients, right? Because we have many, many people who either have lost parents when they're younger or have lost significant people in their life. And you find that is a root cause of a lot of emotional angst. And so being able to relate to people in that way is so great because you're doing two things. You're helping them immensely because you're explaining to them why this is happening. But at the same point, you're really healing yourself at the same point. You're,
right.
You're being able to form that connection that you could never do with certain people. I'll tell you one other practice that I use that I love doing. This has helped me so much with the friends in my life. I will, every few months, I'll take out a thank you card and I will write a thank you letter to the mother of one of my friends. And I will say to her, you know, thank you so much for the great job you did. Thank you for raising this great person who I'm a friend with now. And I feel like that really does help me so much because as you said, you know, you want to preserve their legacy in some way, but it's also great to see that love between mothers and sons and mothers and daughters are still out there. So
right.
anything you can do to commemorate that in other people is great, too. And it works out wonderfully because I feel like I've gained every mother I've written to. They're so overwhelmed. They'll call me up and they'll say, how are you doing? And so that's another great, and it's not just with Moses, we said, it's with anybody in your life that you've lost. I recommend reaching out and telling other people that you may know about how much you appreciate them.
That's really nice. That's, you know, that's really, really a very cool tool to have, Alex. You know, and we don't do enough of that again in today's society. We don't make that personal effort to connect with people. And I really, really like that. And holding a space of gratitude and being thankful for the people that have been in our lives to support us, and parents in particularly. So thank you for sharing that. I'd like to, we have a few minutes left, so I'd like you to briefly talk a little bit about the books that you've written, the children's books that you've written, and share that part of your life with us too.
Right. Well, it was probably about 2 or 3 months after my mother passed that I started work. I met an illustrator, and his name was Danny Martin, and he's very, very talented and gifted. And I was still looking at that point for ways to commemorate my mom's legacy. And we developed an idea for a book, Lessons from a Southern Mother, which is meant to be an inspirational children's book. It's about a mom who is driving her son to school on the first day, and he's really worried, and she starts to communicate with him all these different stories. And in those stories, we have different groups helping individuals after Hurricane Katrina, Dr. King, many different stories of positive aspects of Southern culture. And it's meant as a book. Some people confuse it. It's not so much about Southern pride as it is about projecting a great image of our region, and also showing that relationship that I shared. So it's a very healing process, and we're really proud of it. And then the second book we did, The Journey of the Paper Heart, I did that with a photographer, Joshua Sells. And it was actually filmed in Paris early last year. And it's a book that encourages traveling with your loved ones, which is something we talked about earlier on the show. That's mm-hmm. something I love to do with my mom. I love to do with my friends. I think it's so great to anytime you can go somewhere with somebody else and share in that experience. Those are the things you treasure years later. And so in this phone and tablet dominated age of young people, we thought it would be really cool to have a book that reminded kids about the value of getting out there, putting the phone up and traveling and experiencing the world with the people that are closest to them. So we're really proud of that. Of course, that book released just a few months ago. And, of course, the attacks in Paris that happened, we were very concerned about that. So we're working with the French Red Cross now. And we're donating all the proceeds from that book to the victims of the terrorist attack that happened in November in Paris.
Oh, wow, Alex.
So
that's really great.
It works to heal on both ends. So it feels good. Feels good.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for talking a little bit about the books as well. Before we close out this show, Vivid Life, the Vivid Life Radio, vividlife.me family, has a question that we've been asking our guests. What does your vivid life look like? In one or two sentences, what does your vivid life look like?
The easiest thing to do, a short answer, a short long answer. I always loved, shortly after my mother passed, I met a former life coach online, and under his religious views, he had one word, optimistic. I love that.
That's great.
I think you should always look for those lights in the darkness, and especially in these days when you turn on the news, you know, we can be so easily disillusioned. That optimism is what keeps me going, and you know what, it would be really easy to get down about every little thing that happens, and we all, no matter how far along on our spiritual journey we get, we all do. But looking for those glimmering lights and staying optimistic, that's what vivid life means to me.
That's great, Alex. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I love that so much. Thank you for all of your words of wisdom. Thank you for opening up and sharing your story with us this morning. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. So thank you for joining me on the show. You can find out more amazing things about Alex on his website, www.beene.com, AlexBeene.com. So thank you for joining us here today. I'm Pam Butler. You can check out my website. You fill in your email address. I will send you a free meditation, returntolife.com. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to next week. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. As we all know, stress has become an epidemic in our society, contributing to more diseases in our bodies. Listen each week as Pam shares easy and practical information and tools to connect your mind, body, and spirit and return to a life that is more balanced and blissful than ever before. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.